United States Court of International Trade is now in session. The Honorable Judge Timothy M. Reif presiding over docket number 20-00176, GoPro Incorporated versus the United States of America. Will the parties please introduce themselves to the court, starting with the plaintiff's counsel?
Everyone, please be seated. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. This is Elena Eckhart on behalf of Plaintiff GoPro Inc.
I'm Matt McCacci on behalf of Plaintiff GoPro Inc.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Edward Kenny from U.S. Department of Justice on behalf of the government.
Paula Smith, U.S. Customs and Border Protection of Counsel.
And your colleague back there, we don't want to leave her out.
This is Taylor Bates, also of U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
Welcome, Ms. Bates. Okay. Shall we, Sybilla, will you lead? I'm going to ask my team to introduce themselves. We have our law clerks are present here in the courtroom and our interns are remote.
Hi, Sybilla Grennan, law clerk to Judge Reif.
Rohan Mishra, senior law clerk to Judge Reif.
Bridget Golub, senior law clerk to Judge Reif.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I'm Teresa Oliver, intern to Judge Rice.
Thank you, Teresa. Lily?
I'm Lily Moses. I'm an intern to Judge Rice.
And Lily has been our intern on this case, done fantastic work. Both Teresa and Lily are joining us today from Ithaca. I understand that there's a law school up there that's very difficult to get into. I'm glad I got into law school and those who are not as gifted intellectually could still get in. So you all have our questions. The one thing I wanted to mention is we're going to move one of our questions, and the questions are also part of our public record here. We're going to move question 2-5, is it? Sybilla? Part 2, question 5. Yes?
Yes.
Part 2, question 5. We're going to move that to the end and discuss it in a confidential session. Otherwise, we're all public. Let's just start with question 1-1, and let me toss it to plaintiff's counsel, Ms. Eckhart or Mr. Nakachi.
Sure, Your Honor. Thank you so much. And we would like to thank the court for the opportunity to present this argument.
We are, Ms. Eckhart, is your mic on? I'm not hearing very well.
Is it better?
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to thank the court for the opportunity to present the argument this afternoon. Your Honor, the fact that each model features slight variation does not prevent the court from considering them together for the purposes of classification. The parties agreed that the subject models are representative of the GoPro housings in other cases pending and currently stayed before the court. It is the common characteristics shared by the housings that are most relevant to their proper classifications, not their variations. We're happy to go through them if you would like, but it's the common characteristics that are most relevant.
Okay, that's good. Mr. Kenny, any response?
Yes, good afternoon, Your Honor. In response to question 1-1, we would agree that generally the six categories or the six different items at issue do have similarities that can be discussed together. They're all containers for holding specific GoPro cameras, such as Hero cameras specifically. And they're specific Hero cameras that they're designed and made to hold. The cases share the ruggedized features. The cases all have latches that you can unlatch the back door and put the Hero cameras into them, and you could latch that back door. The cases all share the built-in design to three-finger mounting system that allows the housings with the cameras inside them to be paired with different mountings and different accessory handles or mountings, if you would like to use that word. So they share that. There's one There's one model at issue, the skeleton housing, that is slightly different, but I don't think that would necessarily go to, would have to be analyzed separately, because they're all protective housings. All of them except the skeleton are protective for water to a certain extent, waterproof abilities. One doesn't, and that's the skeleton housing, because the skeleton housing is made with openings in the back door and openings in the side. And I think if you could see that for yourself.
So are we being, Mr. Kenny, are you asking us to consider that one then separately?
No, I'm just informing you of there's only one that has a difference. But
okay. The government agrees with the plaintiffs that we can consider all of the subject merchandise in one category.
Yes, because together. They are still protective. They're protective. They're ruggedized for not being hurt by
your. Thank you. That's very helpful. Let's move on to part two, question one. Ms. Eckhart, can you start helping us understand this concept of reliable information sources and what the plaintiff would like us to look at? We're acquainted with, obviously, the encyclopedias and other scientific sources. Are there other sources of information that the plaintiff would like to point us towards?
Yes, Your Honor. The courts, both Court of International Trade and Federal Circuit, have held that other reliable information sources include expert testimony about a meaning of a tariff term. And to name a few, for example, in Avenues in Leather, I believe it's number 6, decided in 2005, 423 F3rd 1326, Federal Circuit 2005. Federal Circuit acknowledged and accepted that the trial courts adopted experts' testimony explaining that, quote-unquote, pad folios were not, quote-unquote, briefcases or attaché cases within the meaning of Heading 4202. Similarly, in GRK versus U.S., 180 F sub 3rd 1260, CIT 2016, the Court of International Trade considered expert testimony on the common meaning of the term of self-tapping screws. In Otterbox products, the Court of International Trade considered and adopted the importer's expert testimony on the meaning of the exemplars in Heading 4202, specifically that all of them are designed to store, transport, organize,
and protect. Can I interrupt? Anything other than expert testimony that you'd like to flag for us?
Yes, Your Honor. The courts have also held that other reliable sources may include documentation from the relevant domestic industry, industry standards, and reference sources relied upon by people working in the industry, and that's GRK case. In this case, relevant industry publications would include photography guides, photography magazines, as well as the websites of well-known retailers of photography equipment and supplies such as B&H. And if the court were to take a judicial notice of the well-known photography equipment retailer's website, let's say B&H, and photography magazines, searching for the term camera case will yield results consistent with the GoPro position in this case.
And what would we be looking for in the photography magazines?
So in photography magazines, if you look for what's the best camera cases in 2023, and we'll have an array of camera cases, which is consistent with the, which would be the cases that are to store, to go, to support, to store, to organize, to transport, and to protect camera cases and their accessories while not in use. And so that's what you will see in the magazines. Same thing with the websites. If you type camera case in the search, you will get.
I just want to be sure you stay close to the mic. If you maybe pull it a little closer to yourself.
Apologies, Your Honor. So similarly, if you were to look on the website of, you know, large photography equipment and supplies retailers such as B&H and type in camera case search, what you will get camera cases. You will not get housings. So those are the reference materials that we would like the court to consider as well.
Okay. Mr. Kenny, any
response? I guess my co-counsel wants to add something.
Oh, if I could supplement, and the relevance of the additional materials to the expert testimony is that the expert witness, who's also a fact witness, did as a part of his analysis consult with those various types of websites and industry publications and all of this, which he is already familiar with. himself as an expert. So that has been incorporated into the record.
Okay, thank you.
Your Honor, as far as question 2-1, I agree that lexicographical or sources are reliable, dictionaries, the encyclopedia. I also agree that websites, as they stand prior to the litigation, are good. You know, if they're from GoPro prior to the litigation, then those sites are fine. And just in general, other websites involving retailers, as counsel of the plaintiff alluded to, like B&H or any other company that is in the business of selling their products, are have an indicia of reliability, because whether or not it pans out for the customers, you know, will be shown. As far as experts, I don't know whether we're getting into expert testimony at this point. Do you want me to address that, Your Honor?
No, I think we're okay on the expert testimony for now.
Okay. Your Honor, also, your own, your obviously reliable sources, the court's own views.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kenney. Ms. Eckhart, what about packaging?
The
packaging, manuals by GoPro or by competing products?
Definitely,
source of
the
information
materials
we can turn to?
Yes, definitely the marketing materials of GoPro, which is part of the record and which have been referred to by the parties throughout, and I think cited too in our briefs.
And Mr. Kenny, you're okay with that? You agree?
Yes, these are GoPro specification sheets, GoPro
BOMs,
build sheets. Those things were, you know, that were not made for the litigation are reliable sources, and they're part of our exhibits also. The catalogs, the dive housing product requirements, the manual for the GoPro. Those are things that are reliable, in my view.
Okay, Ms. Eckhart, do you agree?
Yes, and of course the packaging, as you mentioned, around the physical samples that we have are also to be considered with their descriptions.
Okay, terrific. Let's move on to question 2-2. Ms. Eckhart, I'm going to start with you and Mr. Nakachi. Storage and use, are these... As our question reads, temporarily mutually exclusive, using the Focal Encyclopedia's definition.
Yes, Your Honor. The phrase, quote, used especially in the field, unquote, doesn't mean an actual use of a camera as a camera, which is for filming, while enclosed in a camera case. So it merely means, under Focal Encyclopedia, field use, that is, just being an outdoor or other field environment. None of the examples described in the camera case section of Focal Encyclopedia contemplates a use of a camera while enclosed in the case. For example, the term field use is mentioned again in this section where this encyclopedia explains that cases for extended field use tend to be of more rugged construction than those to be used by amateur photographers. So that makes it clear that the phrase field use referred to in Focal Encyclopedia merely means taking the camera to the field, meaning outdoor and other environments, and not, as the government suggested, actually using a camera as intended while enclosed in the case.
Why does it mean that? Why does it mean that?
Because none of those described contemplated the use. So all of the cases that were described in Focal Encyclopedia described containers that would need to be open in order for the camera to be used as a camera. Yes, they can be taken to the field, you know, enclosed and protected and stored and in some cases organized with other equipment. However, once you're in the field, you have to either take them out of the case or open the flip or, you know, somehow take it out of whatever protective, you know, enclosure it is, and then film, which is completely different from housings that are subject to this case. So
okay, let me pause you there. Mr. Kenny, can you comment on that? Do you agree that there's no instance where you would actually be filming with the case on, as in the case of the subject merchandise?
I think that's a misreading of the Encyclopedia of Photography discussion of camera cases to say that the use doesn't mean the actual use of the camera while it's in the case. I think that the encyclopedia discusses that, particularly with camera cases and cameras, that it's foreseeable and usual and contemplated that a camera case can actually have be of the design that allows for the camera to actually, the camera itself, to be used while in that camera case.
Fully in the camera case.
Well, in the camera case, to some extent, they have an example, but it states specifically to retain their performance with
where you're in the
you're
in the focal encyclopedia definition. How far down
in the focal encyclopedia, the second sentence, to retain their performance with the necessary precision, cameras and their accessories need protection while being stored, transported, and used, especially in the field. So that sentence is, they're talking about cameras that are being stored, transported, and used. So that states specifically that the cameras are being used, and they need that protection.
Right, but how do you store something and use it at the same time? That's what our question is trying to get at.
So,
this question of temporal,
yes.
The sequential. If use means, do you understand in the definition that use means applying the camera to take a photograph or other image?
Yes.
Okay. So how do you do that if it's fully stored inside a case?
So I think this definition shows that the definition understands that this world the world this definition creates doesn't mean that storage and use are antithetical, that one cancels out the other. I think this definition shows that this can happen, two things can happen with the same case. So this case can provide the ability to use when you want to use the camera, and it can provide the ability to set the camera aside protectively. And that's exactly what this GoPro case does.
I'm sorry, set the camera aside protectively. I don't know what that means.
Set the camera aside, and while it's being set aside, it is still protected. It's still enclosed in that case.
But it's not being used. If it's in the case, you're saying it's being used?
No. At the same case,
yes,
allows for if the person operating wants to use the camera, it would allow that camera to be used while in the case. At the same, at a different time, if that operator is no longer using the camera, i.e. taking a picture with that camera, they can set it aside, still in that case, and that case, while that camera is set aside,
so it's not being used, unless you construe use to mean that it's getting to the place where it's going to be, where the camera is going to be taking pictures. It's not, someone isn't taking a picture. I mean, you could, if you want, you can approach the table and and show with the cases you've shared with us in the exhibit the government's shared.
Yeah.
How would you use any of those cases if it's on the camera?
Sure. Your Honor, as a prefatory...
Can you pause for me? Yes, go ahead.
As prior to discussing the demonstrative exhibits of the 35 millimeter plastic or leather cases, can I just further cite you to the Focal Encyclopedia camera case, which discusses, and it's our position, it discusses the type of cases that are these leather and plastic cases that are the demonstrative exhibits. And it says, cases intended for modern handheld cameras.
Where, how far down are you?
So it's the next.
Got it,
it's
about halfway.
Yeah, halfway. Okay. Cases intended for modern handheld cameras, such as a 35 millimeter format. And, you know, the photo, Encyclopedia of Photography is in 1993, third edition. So that has to be taken in context. Are constructed of leather or plastic?
But I'm sorry, but you're standing behind this document as the definition that you're comfortable with of a camera case, right?
It's one of the sources that that we believe provides the basis for.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear.
Eonami.
Okay.
And that and the.
That's okay. I just wanted to be clear. You're standing behind it. Okay. Cases intended for modern handhelds, such as the 35 millimeter format.
Right. Are constructed of leather or plastic and are designed to provide good protection for the equipment without being uncomfortable to carry or inviting attention. Some are designed to retain the cameras by means of a screw that attaches to the bottom of the case to the tripod socket. In turn, this screw may itself be tapped to accept a tripod screw so that the camera and its case can be attached to a tripod. Other cases retain the camera by means of a short leather snap retainers. The flap protecting
the
lens.
Mr. Kenny, we've read it. What is the, can you share what your point is of reading this?
Yeah, I was going to get to this part about the flap. With that style of case, the flap, the design of that style of case, the flap is allowed to be...
Right, but the case is not fully on. You open the case, you take off the top, and it's hanging down. What I'm asking you is, if use means exactly what you say it means, then how do any of those cases meet that definition?
This is one style of use, Your Honor. You know, the definition isn't necessarily encompassing every...
So use can mean a variety of different things in this context. It can mean just moving the camera into the field.
Yes. I mean, we're discussing sort of different ideas in camera cases. And this idea is that there is a use. In other words, its ability to take a photo while in the case exists in this camera case definition. And
the ability to take a photo while it's in the case.
Yes.
But can you show me how that would work with any of the government's exhibits?
Yes.
And to be clear, per our exchange, when you take the top off, that would not meet the definition of being in the case.
Your Honor, when you fold the top down,
yes.
On the case, there's still a part of that case.
I understand that.
So
right.
It's the government position that, yes, that is still in the case, with the top off allowing it to take a photo. Now, things have progressed since these type of 35-millimeter camera cases that are either leather or plastic.
Please hold the mic close to your – thank you.
And they've further developed, and now there is the type of camera case that is the GoPro merchandise that is. And in the GoPro merchandise
So it's the government position that those are old things, and these are newer versions of those things.
Newer versions with the same concept.
And why didn't, and these are the only newer versions that exist on the planet.
I can't, so.
Because this is what the government put in the, these are the government's exhibits, right? These are the closest things the government could find, presumably, were they, to those things? Excuse me, for those in the transcript. The government exhibits are the closest things the government could find to the GoPro exhibits.
These are the closest exhibits to the example and the definition of the camera case in the photo encyclopedia, showing the...
Are they the closest example to the subject merchandise that the government could find?
There are other camera exhibits from the B&H or from the Canon manufacturing group and the Acaso manufacturing group that sell camera cases that are very similar to the GoPro cases in that they fully enclose a camera.
Can you show us the picture that you're referring to? Thank you.
And Your Honor, Mr. Kenny is
yes.
May I address something?
Sure.
It is true, this is 1993 definition, and I understand the government position that's a mere improvement of something that didn't exist at that time. However, it doesn't explain the fact that the same Focal Encyclopedia in 1993 is making a clear distinction between camera cases and camera housings that are used underwater and which allow for functional use of the camera while enclosed in a housing. In the same Focal Encyclopedia, there's a definition for underwater camera. And I'm referring, Your Honor, to page 86 of Exhibit P, which is the Focal Encyclopedia. Underwater photography can
be
done.
You're reading from the same definition?
No.
Section?
It's the underwater camera. It's on page 86, Your Honor.
Page 86 of what?
It's above.
So of your brief?
It's Exhibit P, which is Focal Encyclopedia.
Okay, go ahead.
So we've been reading from page 91, which had mm-hmm. camera case definition. I refer the court attention to page 86 of the same source, which defines underwater camera.
Where is this in your brief?
Oh, it's all over. So this is Exhibit P of attached to our motion for summary judgment.
It's not in your brief.
It's in my brief.
Okay, is it in your brief?
Okay, if I refer, Your Honor, to page 15, where we talk about camera housing. The very last paragraph of page 15.
Okay, great, thank you.
So in relation to underwater photography, Focal Encyclopedia specifically describes functional waterproof housings, not camera cases. In where the source specifically says all of the normal functions of conventional camera are attached to an extension apparatus that passes through the outside of the housing to allow the diver access to some of the controls and use the camera as intended underwater. So in the same published in 1993 source, there's a clear distinction between camera case as described and camera housings as existed at that time.
Okay. Mr. Kenny, have you found the picture?
Yes, Your Honor. It's Exhibit 14, Government Exhibit 14 and Government Exhibit.
Do you mind showing it to us?
Yes.
Your Honor, we're probably objected. There are probably evidentiary objections to this.
But is this not part of the record?
It is part of the record, Exhibit 14. Eckert? Government Exhibit 14.
But what's your objection?
Your Honor, I think in your first questions, you were talking about what are reliable sources, and I think these are internet reliable sources from camera companies.
That's okay, but Ms. Eckhart is raising an evidentiary objection to your mentioning this. This is part of an exhibit to your briefs.
Yes, it's evidentiary objections to evidence. This is document 37-2 on the document.
Can you, Ms. Eckhart, may I trouble you to find a way to move the microphone closer so that all of the transcript will pick up all of your comments?
Apologies. So this is docket number 37-2. This is plaintiff GoPro evidentiary objections to evidence proffered by defendant. Our objection on government exhibit 14, which is Canon advertising copy for the AWDC-30 all-weather case. It's irrelevant and misleading. Canon advertising does not contain the term camera case. Lack of foundation, lack of authentication.
So this is not in the administrative record here?
This is something that Mr. Kenny pulled out of the website?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's not in the record, Mr. Kenny?
When you said, Your Honor, this isn't the de novo record before this court. This is submitted with our with our summary judgment brief. It was also discussed during a deposition.
Okay,
and objected to during the deposition.
So how is it we have a, why are we in summary judgment if we have a dispute over facts?
Well, this is just evidentiary objections to the evidence that government is relying on in their summary judgment. We're objecting to that. We're not disputing that this is what it is. We're saying that it shouldn't be allowed to be considered without, you know, authentication, foundation, and, you know, relevancy objections.
Your Honor, this was in the your first questions were talking about reliable sources, and you were talking about our internet sources reliable from different camera companies. And there was then a discussion, and I believe plaintiff's counsel was saying that if you search camera cases, you will find relevant and informative websites. This is no different, Your Honor.
Well, Your Honor, for the purposes of authentication, we don't know which retailer was used. Where did it come from? I mean, there was no authentication of the copy of this advertising.
Your Honor,
I don't think it's
so the parties went through this in discovery, and the government offered this, and then plaintiff objected, and what did the government do to authenticate the material?
Your Honor, I submitted in my reply brief that I pulled this document up myself, and the date I did that, and it bears the each one of these bears the actual website that can be reproduced at any point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, give me a moment, please. Okay, I think, Mr. Kenny, we're gonna not look at your proffered information.
Your Honor,
but I'd like to ask Ms. Eckhart to respond to how the government has described being able to use and store a camera at the same time. He's offered a description. He's offered an example of how that can be done. What is your response?
Your Honor, I haven't seen the government actually using cameras intended, which is to take pictures without opening the flap.
Yes, he described you open the flap is still attached, it's hanging below the camera, if I've got that correct, Mr. Kenny?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Your Honor.
Yep, and you take pictures with the camera.
Yeah, which is completely different from, you know, the housings that we are describing here, where, you know, the camera is fully enclosed in the housing, nothing needs to be taken out. The user has full control of the buttons, you can turn it on. The user can read all the readouts. Nothing has to be open. So it's just completely different from camera case that the government is describing. So, and also given, you know, the housing definition in Focal Encyclopedia, in addition, this is consistent with Otterbach's products case where the Federal Circuit specifically said that functional use is incompatible with the common knowledge of storing.
So she's right, Mr. Kenny, isn't she, that the case that GoPro has, subject merchandise, you don't have to flip something up. You mentioned that each of the, in your opening, the question, first question, you said that each of the cases has a latch. You open it and you remove the GoPro camera. You don't have to do anything with those latches to actually take a picture with the GoPro device, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor, because the back, the latch.
So that sounds different from these devices.
I'm not proposing that the GoPro, the housings and the merchandise at issue needs to be open to be used. That's not what we're arguing. We're just arguing that this, the EO nominee understanding of camera cases, that camera cases can be used. This GoPro merchandise meets the EO nominee definition of storage, transport, and use, protecting it all throughout that.
Even though you can't offer the court, the government doesn't offer the court any other example of where a close, a case complete, a camera case completely closed allows the camera to be used as intended.
Your Honor, I did discuss these other websites, and I do have my response.
We heard about the other websites, but putting those to the side.
I would just like to say that my response is on page 24 and 25 of that of the reply brief, the response specifically to objections.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to part three, Ms. Eckhardt. I'm going to go to you. Question A. And let me ask you just, if I can, for a one-word answer as to whether the four factors are necessary to apply an AO nominee analysis.
I will refer to my colleague, my co-counsel.
Mr. Nakachi.
For the one-word answer, that answer would be yes.
The four factors apply to an AO nominee analysis.
Absolutely, they do.
Mr. Kenny?
A one-word answer, Your Honor?
Yes.
No.
Okay, Mr. Nakachi, can you tell us why you believe those factors apply?
Briefly, and I'll be very brief about the history in this. Heading 4202, the origin comes from the Thucydides, where it's been referred to in Aladdin International Corporation versus the United States, 13 CIT, 1038, 1989, quite a while ago, that these provisions are luggage. And in Chapter 42, that language was transferred over, that these are travel goods, handbags, and similar containers. And avenues and leather, a EO nominee case, attaché cases were referred to and considered. In Camelback products, also an EO nominee provision for backpacks was considered. In Deckers.
When you say was considered, you mean the four factors were enumerated
Deckers were
by the court and reaching its holding?
Emanate from the listed examples and are a part of them in an
Right. I'm trying to ask whether a court applied the four factors in reaching an AO nominee conclusion.
Correct.
In all of the cases that you're
in
offering.
In those cases, those factors were considered. In Deckers, the importer argued just the opposite of what the government is arguing here, that the term sports footwear should be viewed differently from the ejus sum generis analysis. And It's in fact just the syllogism. It's a very simple answer.
So then, what's the difference between an if the four factors apply to AO nominee, and what's the difference between an AO nominee and an ejusdem generis analysis?
Well, in Otter, the court looked at the four factors and said, look, they can be viewed. They should be viewed collectively, neither an and nor
that's
or.
That's an ejusdem. Otter is an ejusdem generis case.
Correct. But that's not an EO nominee case.
Right.
You can't say that one factor would
I ask
not
you,
apply.
I ask you if your position is that the four factors apply in an AO nominee case, then what is the difference between an AO nominee case where the item is specifically enumerated in the header, as it is here, camera cases, versus an ejusdem generis case where they are not, as was the case in Otter products.
Mm-hmm. In an ejusdem generis case, such as an Otterbox, the court said you don't have to consider all of the four factors.
Then I'm not asking you how to apply it. I'm asking you whether to apply, Mr. Nakachi.
Well, you'd have to.
unless you were to decide that because of the principal purpose, there's a significant character difference in the goods, that analysis is not required at all. I can store a camera in my car. I can store a camera in my Camelback. But that doesn't make Camelback a camera case. And okay, I should not have to go through that analysis.
I'm only asking you a strictly legal question, analysis question. And you're standing on your position that the four factors should apply in an AO nomine.
I believe it's a logical syllogism, Your Honor. That justum generis cannot be, you cannot pull four factors from each of an exemplar and not expect that those four factors aren't exemplified by each of those eonomic provisions.
Okay, I think that states your position clearly. Mr. Kenny, do you have anything further you'd like to contribute on the legal analysis issue? You've stated your position clearly. You don't think they apply. Is there anything further you want to add to that?
Yes, I'd like, so the heading of 4202 has the EO nominee exemplars. The EO nominee exemplars are reviewed based on their common or commercial meanings. And EO nominee as an understanding encompasses all types of that named good. When you get to similar containers is a justum generis analysis, and the justum generis analysis looks at the different characteristics that were given by all of the named headings. So each of those named headings has contributed some or more than some to the justum generis characteristics. So when you look at our products as an justum generis case of similar containers, they don't even have to meet all four of those criteria. There's only certain ones. And that still means,
we're going to how to apply the four factors, but I wanted to pause us on, does one apply the four factors? And I think I have your respective positions on that. Is there any, before we go into how to apply, which we're gonna move on to. But
I think, as far as the EO nominee, then according to Deckers, if it's apparent that the camera case is understood, then you don't need to go to a justum generis. But a justum generis is a check and balance on whether that fits in the family of goods. So if it meets some of those characteristics in the justum generis reflecting back on the EO nominee, then you understand that EO nominee good fits that heading. And that's like this item here when we discuss the EO nominee discussion of this type camera case. It's protective. You could use it to store. You could use it to transport. Those are things that I can discuss because we know they do that. If you want to hear that, I could get into that.
I think I'm all right for now. Thank you. Ms. Eckhart, moving on to part B of the question, which of the four factors is most relevant if the court were to apply an justum generis analysis?
This is also for Mr. Nakachi.
Well, Your Honor, that's an interesting question. I'd call the court's attention to the Victoria's Secret decision from the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, which is interesting in that they explained that the positive factors also come with inherent limitations. And that is the case, especially in heading 4202. When we speak of store, we're speaking of an inactive product contained within, not a product that is functional. We speak of protecting a product that is stored. When we speak of carrying or transporting an item, it is a stored item. And likewise with an organized item, it is one that is stored, put away, and that's reflected in all of the case law from the Federal Circuit. The housing itself is a product that needs protection. And like the calculifolos in avenues, which were found to have space, that space was very limited. And it wasn't sufficient to organize anything.
Whereas in these housings, we have products that might go in, but which are essential to the functionality of this integrated system for photography. It's very difficult to identify one.
Okay, you just answered the question. So there's no single one that you would point to?
No single one, but the limitations, I think, are the most significant aspect of
the limitations of what?
The limitations of those four positive factors.
What do you mean? I don't understand. What do you mean by the limitations of those?
Well, the limitation of storing means that if you're using it, you can't store. If you're protecting it, you can't be using it. You have it put away into storage. And for each of these factors, this product doesn't fit.
There's no limitations to the words. You're just arguing that those words don't fit your product. Is that what you're meaning to say?
Yes. In the spirit of Victoria's Secret, the definitions that came out in Jetsam Generis, these four factors, contain within themselves limitations. The government is arguing that because the term camera case is eo nominee, that outstrips these four factors are not inherently, they don't inherently contain limitations, but they do. These four factors are the embodiment of what a travel good, of what a luggage is. We just don't use the luggage as we don't put this to an act of functionality with the products that go into a piece of luggage.
Okay, Mr. Nakachi, I think your analysis could be more clear and more straightforward. The court has to perform an eo nominee analysis. There are certain parameters for doing that. If we find that the good is a camera case, as is included in the eo nominee analysis, we don't go any further. If we find that it is not, then we move on to an ingestum generis analysis. We look at the four factors. Seems to me you are trying to merge those two analyses. I'm not sure why. I think you feel it may advantage your litigating position, but I don't think it's a very helpful analysis to the court. Mr. Kenney.
Your Honor, you want to know
the most relevant factor among the four?
Well, the most relevant factor among the four is protection. This item is designed to protect the camera.
Why is that? I get the purpose of it. Why is that the most relevant?
Well, that's kind of why this product, one of the design features is that it protects it.
Why is it the most? I know it's one of the design features. I know it's one of the four. Why is it the most relevant in your view?
Well, it fits within the common meaning too. To a container for protection, a receptacle for protection of what's within it. Common meaning.
So the common meaning includes protection in the eo nominee analysis.
Yes.
Does it include the other four factors? That's what Mr. Nakachi is actually arguing.
Well, Your Honor,
so that we wind up doing the four factor analysis in eo nominee, but you just said no. I'm confused. Do we do the four-factor in AO nominee or don't we?
So, Your Honor, in the AO nominee understanding of camera case, you look at the definitional things.
I know we look at that, but you just said the protection, it's embedded in that protection is embedded in the AO nominee term camera case. Did you say that?
It makes sense that
did you just say that?
That protection is
yes. Did you not just say that?
It's in the Focal Encyclopedia definition of what a camera case is protecting. Protection of the camera.
What about transport?
That's there too, Your Honor.
Okay. What's the other one?
So, Your Honor, when
storage.
Yes, but you have to understand the context of that's a definition as opposed to characteristics analyzed under a justum generis. So. I think under an ejusdem generis analysis, you're really doing an outer products type focus. When you're looking at the common meaning, you're looking at the definition. How are they using those words? How are they describing what's a camera case? Okay. So, and I think we meet, so as far as meeting transportation and storage, that's an admission by GoPro because you have to look at their documents, especially Government Exhibit 10, which is the Cousteau product requirements document. If you go to...
Before you point us to a bunch of documents, what is the purpose of the point you're making?
That they meet this transportation. We're talking about the definition.
Yes.
And we're talking about the words transportation.
Yes.
Storage, protection. I think we've covered even the sales packaging says protection on that stuff. And if you look,
we're working at the moment with a legal analysis. So am I to understand that the government does believe that in conducting its AO nomine analysis, the court should be looking to the four factors that are the four factors of storage, transport, use, and protection?
So, Your Honor, can you
help me with just a very, very brief, is that correct or incorrect?
Well, it's similar to what I'm saying. I'm submitting to Your Honor that the definition uses its own definition. If you look at the Focal Encyclopedia definition.
Your Honor, may I correct the record real quick?
Let me stick with Mr. Kenny for a moment.
It's just
here.
You said use as one of the elements. It's not. It's
okay.
Store, transport, organize, and protect.
So we were discussing the camera case definition in the Focal Encyclopedia to retain their, and it says, to retain their performance within
the use is here, Ms. Eckert. I'm re-looking at the Focal Encyclopedia. It says, in the first line, it talks about storage and transport. Then we go to stored, transported, and used, especially in the field.
But, Your Honor, we just discussed it. Use as a camera is not contemplated by the Focal Encyclopedia. This is our housings are facilitating and enhancing the use of the camera. The camera case that I describe in Focal Encyclopedia are those for store transport.
I suggest we move on to, can we move on to question four? Is that okay with both the parties? I'd like to move on.
Your Honor, can I just state my, the U.S.
Hang on a sec, question. Mr. Kenny. Mr. Kenny, can you finish, and then I want to move on.
Yes. Your Honor, definitionally, under the EO nominee, the camera case, it states, to retain their performance with the necessary precision, cameras and their accessories need protection while being stored, transported, and used, especially in the field. So it's our position that those words are the words that it's a definition. It's being described. And we say that yes, they do meet the definition because Government Exhibit 10 at base number GoPro 008958, one of the criteria that was a must have before this would be imported or built and imported was that it's capable of meeting the use that their customers would use of transport or storage. That was a critical P0. A necessary essential, and it says, camera in housing transported in bag with abrasion creating objects, that the result being no damage. So it had to meet that. They expected it to be used for storage and transport, but it's also expected that it's used in that. So we meet the definition as stated in the camera case focal definition.
Okay.
Otter Products does
can you wrap
an
up?
Analysis that's obviously...
We've read, I think we're going to pause on Otter because the court's read Otter and okay. You've answered our question. In question for Ms. Zachary.
It's just that we, the government's position ignores record evidence and expert testimony on that particular point and of course, we addressed it in our response to.
Sorry, I'm what particular point?
So the particular point.
If you can say it in just one sentence,
yes,
please.
Yes, a particular point about product requirements, stating that GoPro actually markets it as a storage solution. It does not.
Okay.
There's some aspirational attempts to protect the camera, but it's never ever is marketed as a storage solution. In fact, Casey was created for the storage solution for the camera and accessories.
Okay, thank you,
Your Honor. Just in rebuttal to that, you can't explain.
One sentence, Mr. Yes. Kenny, please.
GoPro can't explain away what's in their product requirements that were requirements before it would even
okay,
be
we've got
a
the record.
Viable product.
We'll continue to review. Okay, question 4A. What I'm going to try to get from both parties with some clarity is to what extent a decrease in performance and usability preclude the functionality under the auto products analysis. Mr. Kenny, we'll start with you. You say that the Hero cameras do not retain 100% functionality. Is that right?
They don't.
Okay, so where do we, at what number? Is it 90? Is it 80? Do we shift out of an auto products analysis?
Well, Your Honor, I think this, the idea that this functionality, that's an idea of a difference between storage and use. Am I?
But I don't want to go back to that. What I'm asking you here very precisely is, does the product have to have 100% functionality to fall within the approach that the Otter Products quote?
Yeah, Otter Products says 100% functionality. I think with regard to this, to our discussion here, I think it's more of a red herring, this functionality idea. I think whether you have to understand whether this product can store or transport, and with this particular product, yes, it can, because it's designed that way. It was designed before it was ever imported to do that, and that's with the resistance on the buttons and the ability to withstand being
so
placed in a bag with a bracelet.
I understand the government's position is that the product has storage and transport characteristics. I understand that. What I'm trying to understand is if the government's position is that the Hero cameras do not retain 100%, is the Otter Products case applicable only to a product that has 100% functionality when it's in the case? Is that what the government's position is?
Yes.
Okay. And Ms. Eckhart or Mr. Nakachi?
Yes, Your Honor, that would be me. Well, first of all, the government position that the GoPro action cameras do not retain full functionality while enclosed in the housing is unsupported by record evidence. We are 100%, 150% functional. It is undisputed that just like
I don't know about 150%, but my recollection of reviewing the materials before us is that it's not possible to operate a touchscreen. It's not, and that there is some loss of quality in the. Because there's a plastic, we're going to go look at these in a moment, but there's some plastic over the lens. Am I misremembering there, Ms. Eckhart?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, I am misremembering.
Yes, Your Honor. So
you can use the touch screen when the case is on.
Yes, you can. You can use because you have a LCD backpack that can be incorporated into a camera, which allows for that use.
So please, may I just ask you, I want to make sure our record is complete. May I please ask you to speak into the mic because I'm concerned that we're going to lose parts of your comments.
Yes. Sorry.
Say what you said a moment ago, please.
So we have optional modules, which is called LCD screen, which can be incorporated into a camera, it goes into the camera, goes into the housing, and in which case that screen can be accessed while enclosed in the housing. There's no evidence in the record that the audio performance
so
is
let me try to understand.
Degraded.
Is every product here allows the screen to be used while it's in the, what you call the housing and what the government calls the case? Is that right?
I know it can be accommodated. I know that the module with the LCD screen can be incorporated and used for early iteration.
Okay,
so
can you take one of your cases, please, and a GoPro camera, and can you show us how the LCD screen can be used inside the case? LCD's
right there.
Get it. Or housing. The court is going to stipulate that for purposes of this conversation, we are not making a judgment when we use the word housing or case.
So the way it works, Your Honor, so you would
feel free to bring it on up here and we can all look at it. Mr. Kenny, you're welcome to join us. And anyone else, Ms. Smith or other members of CBP.
There's a microphone right there.
For the record, the secretary is looking at exhibits A11 and A10.
We have testimony by the expert who did that during the deposition, actually showing and demonstrating this.
Maybe Mr. Nakachi can hold the mic for you while you...
So the way it works, you will take a module with the LCD, whatever the case may be.
Mr. Nakachi, you got to hold it close.
It's either LCD screen or extended battery module. So the way it works, you will take the module, attach it to the camera.
The reason that Ms. Grennan went to such trouble to bring the products here and that we alerted you in our letter, we would want to discuss this. Can you just show it to us using the actual products? Because that will be most helpful to understanding what we're discussing. Make sure we don't misunderstand the parties. So we'll wait while you get up.
Okay.
Okay, I guess we'll come down and...
Are you able to see him?
We will join you down there.
Okay. So what we did, we took the camera, the early iteration of the GoPro camera, which is Hero 3. We took the module, which is the LCD screen. We attached it to the camera, which effectively makes it one camera. Merges with the camera, the electronic. And then we incorporated it into housing through which this screen can be accessed.
The benefit of this touch screen LCD touched through the flexible touch screen back of the housing so that it can be fully operational and used.
Not here. Are we getting this recorded, Casey? Full recording?
When it's
okay, so one model of your it's not where's the front of this?
Oh, wait,
these are
back. Israel, back.
Oh, we need that. So this is the just the dojo part.
It may take a little work because you removed the pivot here. Or replacing it with the expanded, thicker back door that can accommodate the touchscreen LCD through which you can touch it with the flexible
back. Okay, so one model of the series of products that are the subject merchandise enables a user of the camera to operate the touchscreen.
Not one model. It works with 3, it works with 4, it works with 4 plus cameras.
I'm saying, but not all of them, not all of these housings that we just can use those terms interchangeably for them. Not all of the subject merchandise. A good way of putting it?
Sure.
Has a soft back that enables you to use the touch. Is that right?
Well, the
government agrees that they're all part of one group for the court to rule on as a group. Is that right?
Well, this door can be incorporated in all of the housings. So this door is an optional door, and you can use it with all of those housings.
Okay. So a user can purchase a...
Optional? A
housing, as GoPro refers to it, without using the touch. So there are versions of your camera that don't have 100. There are versions of the subject merchandise that do not allow 100% for functionality. Is that correct?
No, Your Honor, because again, why is LCD screen would be 100% functional? For our purposes, 100% functional is using the camera for its intended purposes, which is taking videos or photos, turning it on, and taking the videos. So that's just like an OtterBox iPhone. This is what you do. You use it 100% as an iPhone. We use it 100% as a camera. In addition, we have, and that's where my 150% comes from, we enhance the features. We accommodate all of those things for the camera to work in the environments never before possible. You put it into lava. And so that kind of goes to the thermal argument that the government was making, that the camera is overheating. It can work with the housing. It can work while being dropped in a volcano.
If you have this feature, this is now a camera. Is that correct?
Sure.
This item.
Yes.
It was
a camera before.
But not all of your cases allow the user to use this feature of your camera.
All of them allow for this modification, yes, because it's early iteration of the camera.
I didn't ask about the camera modification. I asked about the housing allowing the user to use this feature.
All of the our housings would allow with an optional door.
The only way you could see the cameras don't always have an LCD on them, but if you do have an LCD,
I understand the point you're trying to make. Okay.
Your Honor, may I say
something? Sure, Mr. King, go ahead.
I think in the exhibits of the catalogs, there's a chart as to what different accessories do with what certain products are. So that can confirm whether or not certain backdoors fit on certain of the products. The idea of functionality and 100% functionality isn't just about the LCD screens, but also about the audio quality that's available for these products. So when you put a camera in one of the housings and you go diving with it, you can't have any openings or anything like that destroy the camera itself. So therefore, you are putting a barrier between a microphone that's on that camera and the outside world. So you are decreasing the light.
It's not true. You're putting a barrier between the microphone and the left, correct? A piece of plastic is coming between the microphone and the left, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. However, that plastic is so finely tuned to the microphone that it actually accounts for this vibration. In fact, again, where my 150% functionality comes from, in certain cases, it actually improves audio performance, because if you take it skydiving, naked camera, there is no way you would be able to record anything because of the turbulence over the microphone. That housing actually calibrated for that vibration over the microphone and improves the audio, which would not have been possible without the housing. It actually improves and enhances audio.
Okay.
Your Honor, their own witnesses don't say that. The witnesses don't say that. The idea of one of the housings that I was talking about earlier was the difference between skeleton housing. The skeleton housing was developed to improve the audio quality over the other housings, because the other housings had a barrier to them. There's also, if you look at the catalog and you see the frame is just a holder for the outside of the GoPro. It's not a housing. And it goes away.
Can the parties please just speak sequentially and not over each other? Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Kenny.
So the frame goes around the product and is able to meet with the 2-3-finger mountings, all the series of mountings, developed so that you could optimize the camera without any barriers in the way, or audio or whatever. So I don't think there is a factual dispute here, because I think it's admissions by their own witnesses that there is a depletion of audio in the container. That
okay, you made that point. Let's do a closing point, then I think we're going to go back to our question.
Another point about the audio, there is no secondary audio device in the housing, which speaks volumes to the fact that the audio it produces is optimal and adequate. And all of our witnesses have testified to that.
The frame that Mr. Kenny is referring to was developed for the integrated Neuro One cameras, which are waterproof. We do not require.
We're coming on. That's what our last question was. Let's talk about that one. Okay. We'll turn
around. One continue.
Go ahead, Mr. Kenny.
Just the one more point is that when you're saying 100% functionality, there's also a functionality of charging a battery, which requires cables, and also downloading or playing video on a video screen, which requires wires. All those same barrier qualities disallow those wires and charge to be used.
Okay, Ms. Eckhart, any quick response to that?
Yes, absolutely. The GoPro is marketed as an action camera for use in activities like surfing, biking, skiing, racing. This is why, so of course those activities include, you know, a combination of water, snow, mud. This is why GoPro designed the camera plus housing as a functional, enclosed, waterproof, mountable system to capture video and audio footage in places never before possible. So charging by either AC, DC during those use cases is potentially dangerous to the user and the camera. And therefore, that's why GoPro designed the camera to be powered by a battery backpack, which is another exhibit that we have, which is also an optional module, which you can incorporate into the camera and accommodate with different doors for extended capture sessions.
Okay, so let me try to summarize my understanding of the party's position on this question, and then I'd like to move on to question five and hold question five until the end. On this question, my understanding, this is 4A and B, Yes, 4, I'm going to bring 4B forward. So we're talking about both 4A and 4B. The government's position is that there has to be 100% functionality for the OtterBox analysis to apply. Is that correct?
If you're talking about OtterBox, the OtterBox analysis, yes, it says 100% functionality.
Need to have 100% functionality. And Ms. Eckhardt, you agree with that. You're saying not only 100%, but you're actually saying 150% functionality.
Well, that's, you know.
So that you're, may I finish?
Sure.
You are saying that in order for the OtterBox analysis to apply, if the court finds that there is any limitation on the performance of the camera, the GoPro device inside the housing, then the OtterBox analysis does not apply.
No, Your Honor, that's not what we said.
I'm sorry, I thought you said that not only is there 100% functionality, a moment ago you said there's 150% functionality.
As it refers to our housings, yes. What I'm saying under the OtterBox analysis, it just so happened that the court said full functionality, 100% functionality, because in that case, the case...
So let me try to understand your position, because the court has listened carefully to your analysis, but I'm trying now to understand how you've answered me multiple times in the last 20 minutes is that there needs to be, and the GoPro housing has 100% functionality, if not 150% functionality. Is that your position?
No, Your Honor, this is not what I said. Let me clarify.
So the court has misunderstood what you said?
Yes, Your Honor. May I clarify?
Please.
Okay. I may have jumped the gun when I started responding to what the government was saying. I just said that we disagree with their position that our camera housing is not 100% functional. At that point, we were not talking about analysis under OtterBox. If we are talking merely OtterBox analysis, the court, it is our position that the court there did say 100% and it said full functioning is not compatible with the common understanding of storage. But that just by happenstance. That what happened there was the iPhone, while enclosed, partially enclosed in the case, retained his 100% functionality, and that's what the court went through. The court did not in any way address any situations where the, you know, there may be some decrease of quality or any of that. So I don't really have an answer to it. I don't think that 100% functionality is absolute element, because of course there are exigencies, of course there are different features that other products might have. What I'm saying here is that our product is 100% functional, allows for 100% functionality of the camera, and in fact, it enhances functionality in many, many, many ways. Is that more clear, Your Honor?
It's precisely what you said earlier, which is that you have no advice to the court as to how whether the court should apply OtterBox to this case if the court were to find that there was less, based on the record, that there was less than 100% functionality. You have no advice to the court because your position is that the product does have 100%, if not 150% functionality. Is that correct?
No, Your Honor. So I will argue an alternative then, because I don't want to be boxed in or cased in. If the court were to find that 100% functionality is required under OtterBox, then our housing meets that 100% functionality. In fact, 150% functionality. If court were to find that, 90%, 95%, is required for functionality, then that's fine. Our housing also meets those requirements. And again, what is functionality is important here. Function as a phone in OtterBox transfers to function as a camera, which is not to say, okay, well, it doesn't have LCD screen, it doesn't have this feature, it doesn't have that feature. What we're talking about here is, does it function as intended as a camera while enclosed? Just like OtterBox iPhone was, or phone, smartphone, was functioning as a phone while enclosed, the same principle applies here.
Does it function as a
camera?
What does function as a camera mean?
Function as a camera mean a very basic camera function, taking pictures, taking videos.
Doesn't matter how bad the image is, as long as it's taking an image.
Well, it's just adequate. And then it's hard for me to say percentage-wise. I don't honestly know.
You said 90 or 95%. What about 80%?
Great. 50%.
50%. You say yes?
Sure.
20%.
You're
saying we should apply OtterBox at 20%.
I think it's a question to Mr. Kenny because...
Well, I'm asking you, Ms. Eckhart. You're here. You are all officers of the court here to assist the court in addressing the case that you've brought to the court. What percentage would you suggest to the court?
Your Honor, if I could interject into the discussion, I think the reason it's difficult to give a percentage is because we're speaking of functionality as if it were one thing, when actually it exists here at least three levels. In OtterBox, the court was discussing a cell phone case that allowed 100% access to the functionality of the phone. Simultaneously,
you're using the word functionality to define functionality. Can you tell me you said three levels? What is the first level?
To accessing the functions of the phone through the touch screen.
Okay, touch screen functions.
Correct.
Yes. Here, second, what's the second level?
We have that met with the spring-loaded buttons. Second, the cameras on a phone were accessible on the Otter products cell phone case, as is here. Third, there's another level of added functionality that's happening to this camera, which was not even happening in OtterBox because you couldn't drop it into the water. This water proofs it. So we have at least three functions that take this GoPro housing.
But if I may say, Mr. Nakachi, you're now using the word functionality with respect to the case. Ms. Eckhart used the word functionality with respect to the camera. Just functioning as a camera, I think she said, taking pictures. Okay, I think I'm clear on your positions. Mr. Kenny, anything you want to add to this?
Your Honor, if you're doing a GoPro analysis, the GoPro opinion itself says 100% functionality. I also stated that I believed that the analysis gets towards whether something that it can be used can also store. And that goes into our position.
We've been there, but yes. Got it. Okay. Question five, as we've discussed at the outset, we're going to postpone and discuss in a confidential section of this oral argument. Let's move on to subpart three, which relates to the plaintiff's argument that we should be, in fact, finding that the subject merchandise is properly classified at subheading 852990.8600. So I'm going to start with the plaintiff, since this is your argument. Are the camera housings intended to be used solely with the GoPro Hero?
Yes, Your Honor, they are. There is no independent function of this other than what would be a fugitive use as a doorstop. Something of that. These are intended solely for use with the camera.
Okay. Mr. Kenny, any response on that?
We agree that the...
Can you get a little closer to the microphone, please, so we can make sure to hear your words?
We agree that these housings are designed to fit GoPro Hero cameras. However, as far as this parts analysis, they also are a separate and distinct commercial entity, i.e. housings or camera cases, and you could see in there.
I understand that. The question that I've asked is, and that's in our handout questions, is what is your view as the question, are they intended to be solely used with the cameras, the GoPro Hero camera?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Kenny, the government maintains, moving on to question two, the government maintains that the examining the proper classification of the camera housing as parts under 8529 is premature. Can you tell us what you mean by that, other than that the government does not, that the government considers that they should be properly classified at 7202?
Yeah, there's an exclusion for camera cases from that would, if it's something, if it's according to 1C, additional U.S. Note 1C, if an entity is itself identified under a tariff classification, then it's not a part.
So if the court finds AO nominee analysis that it's under, I'm sorry, 4202 or 4202, then we're not in the parts analysis. But the reason for asking the parties to speak to these issues is that plaintiff has raised them, and therefore the court is going to conduct that analysis if it finds that the products are not properly classified at 4202 or under an adjustum generis analysis in the other items category.
So, Your Honor, I think that analysis then goes to, if we're agreeing that the GoPro is designed to be used with the Hero cameras, but that doesn't discount or obviate the idea that those housings or camera cases, whatever we want to call them, are a separate and distinct commercial entity themselves. And therefore, according to the Barrowin analysis, that would not be a part.
So which analysis?
The case, like Barrowin, B-A-U-E-R-H-I-N?
Barrowin, yes.
110 Fed 3rd 774.
Yeah, got it. Okay. Okay. Sorry, go ahead, Mr. Kenny.
To the idea that it is a separate and distinct commercial entity, there. If you, for example, page 6 is the product catalog where they list their separate accessories, and those, you could find all your housings under there. They're independently sold, separate from the cameras.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Nakachi or Ms. Eckhart, what is the proper tariff classification for GoPro cameras?
Yes, Your Honor. The proper classification of the cameras is in Chapter 85 under subheading 8525.80.40 as digital still video cameras. It's established by the court and Sony.
Is that assertion or finding a part of the record before us?
Yes.
And if so, can you direct us to where?
It's in our motion for summary judgment brief. I will find it in a second. This is page 5 of plaintiff's motion for summary judgment brief. The very last paragraph, spilling on page 6. The camera housing is an integral part of the GoPro action camera. Heading 8525 HTSUS includes digital cameras. Which category includes digital cameras with both video and still image capabilities, like the Hero action camera? And the site is Sony Electronics, 37 CIT, 1748, 2013.
Okay. Mr. Kenny, any comment on that?
Your Honor, I don't disagree with that. I just disagree with the fact that, as I stated before, I think this is a separate commercial entity.
I understand. I have that point.
And, Your Honor, may I add something very quickly?
Yes.
The fact, and I think you have it in another question, but the subsequent generation of GoPro Hero action cameras.
I was about to come to that. Okay. Question 4, how should the court weigh the subsequent generations of the GoPro Hero? Ms. Eckhart?
Yes, well, Your Honor, when technology allows for the functional incorporation of the waterproof housing into the camera itself, GoPro has done so, which has obviated the need for the housing. Therefore, it's our position that it's direct evidence that one, the housing is not a travel good of heading 4202, and two, that it is indeed a functional part, as evidenced by the evolution of the product.
Integral functional part.
Mr. Kenny, any thoughts on this question?
Well, Your Honor, I think question four shows that design and technology have allowed GoPro to advance their camera to have other functions inherent in the camera, perhaps still be a camera. This is very similar to how when you're looking at the EO nominee understanding of what a camera case is, we've looked at the ideas of what a camera case is. It's a container that encloses a camera that allows for the storage, transport, and use of the camera. And that discussion, that definition also originally looked at some 35 millimeter leather or plastic cases, but things have evolved, design has improved, and now we have what's at issue here, which are GoPro protective cameras that allow for use, transport, and storage. So I think this shows that here cameras have evolved, but they're still cameras. What we're talking about at issue here are that camera cases have evolved, but they're still camera cases.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kenny. We are on to part three, or is this part four? We're in part three. At least it's part three in the questions that we circulated. Am I correct about that, Ms. Grennan? Yes, it says part three in the questions. It may be a typographical error on our part, for which we apologize. To the plaintiffs, does the plastic component of the subject merchandise impart its essential character?
Your Honor, first, GoPro's position is that GRI 3B is unlikely to be reached, but if we're considering this, then there are the essential character analysis of the subject housings is somewhat complicated because there are five, at least five, functional engineered components to which the plastic itself functions as a chassis to position them to facilitate operation of the camera, in addition to functionally resisting pressure from, let's say, you're underwater. So the plastic component does have numerous functional applications that interact with the functional components, the lens, the pressure-resistant clip, the gasket, the clips, the spring-loaded buttons, and the heatsink. So if I were to answer this directly, I would say that the functional components predominate by value, by function, which raises an interesting issue in essential character classification, is that we can look to value apportionment, that the plastic itself is a portion of value, but rather small, whereas the heatsink and the spring-loaded buttons may impart together and the lens assembly quite a bit more of value. So, it's difficult to say, but yes, the plastic container itself likely imparts the essential character because of functionality.
Thank you.
Not
Mr.
because
Kenny?
Of anything else.
If I think I understand what plaintiff is saying is that the polycarbonate plastic is the essential character of the item. If that's the case, I would agree if we're not saying it's an item of 4202, that this is in an essential character analysis, a 3B analysis, that what, in essence, gives it what it is the polycarbonate plastic that provides the ruggedization, it provides the protection of the internal camera from the dirt and the debris that gets kicked up in the various activities. It also provides for the molded mountings that mount that you could add to that environment, the all of those different carrying aspects of the GoPro camera housings. And it also provides for the ability to hold the lens where it is, and for the ability to create that three-fingered, for the hinge. It provides the ability to have a hinge. That's the only, I think, metal part of it. So we would say that given the surface area of that polycarbonate plastic, the function of the polycarbonate plastic, that would be the essential character.
Mr. Kenny, thank you for that clear, responsive answer. We're now going to move on to the confidential portion of our hearing. So may I ask everyone to pause while we make sure that anyone who may have been with us is who does not have the appropriate clearance is excused. Casey, are we good to go? We're good to go. Okay. We're in our confidential segment. So the question relates to the decision of the Delaware court in 360 Heroes, Inc. v. GoPro. Mr. Nakachi or Ms. Eckhart, may you address the question?
And, Your Honor, we have stated our position in our reply to government's reply. However, I would want to reiterate that 360 Hero patent litigation imparts no legal relevance in this case. In its attempts to show that GoPro somehow uses the terms housings and camera cases interchangeably, the government referred to a single footnote in a magistrate judge report and recommendation in an unrelated patent infringement litigation pending in Delaware, in the context of the third party, the patent holder who sued GoPro, patent claims construction. So the government attempt to show that fails for a few reasons. First, the subject GoPro housings are in no way implicated in the cited patent litigation. In that action, the plaintiff alleges that GoPro's spherical camera rigs Omni, Odyssey, and Abyss infringe on plaintiff patent. And I believe, Your Honor, we have a picture of one of those spherical camera rigs in our SIR reply. Second, the third party's patent claim construction does not address the description or character of GoPro products. Any statements or arguments in the claim construction are responsive to the construction of the patent holders, not GoPro's products. And third, GoPro never took a position in that patent case that its camera housings are camera cases, as this term is commonly and commercially understood by consumer or within the industry. The camera case was literally used once in the footnote of the GoPro's answering brief at the claims construction stage. It was a 25-page brief, and in the footnote, patent lawyer makes a mention of the camera case. The government found no evidence whatsoever that GoPro refers to its housings or markets them as camera cases. So the passing
The fact is that in this brief, GoPro refers to this product as a camera case. Is that right? Is that correct? Is it GoPro's brief, and do they use the term?
We don't know what housing it refers to, because it uses word housing throughout the whole brief, and once in a footnote it mentions camera case. It's just a far cry from using the terms housing and camera case interchangeably to the public. Yes, they did use camera case for some reason in the footnote.
Thank you for that direct answer after a number of other sentences to my question. Mr.
Yes,
Kenny?
Sir.
Your Honor, just to address the idea that at no time did GoPro use the term camera case to describe camera housing. I think we have exhibit 12 and 13 that talks about, yes, they did market the Hero 10 and 9 protective housing plus waterproof case. They've discussed that that was just one portion of their e-commerce team who did that, that they then revised that and said that they didn't want to do that anymore. They say that they were unauthorized, but they did it because they wanted more exposure. That I think it just goes to the fact that, yes, these things are alternatively called camera cases. The same idea is, but to a greater context, is the...
Can I just ask, though, Mr. Kenny, I mean, if it was the government's brief and you filed a 25-page brief, and in one place you used a word that potentially had legal implications in another context, would the government say that it was fair to draw a strong implication that that was a concession, that the government in this instance had conceded that the product was, in this case, a camera case?
Well, I think in the context of this whole thing, there's the camera case, the exhibits that we've
No, I understand. Put all that other material to the side. It's all before the court. I'm just asking you, for purposes of this one argument that the government is making, doesn't Ms. Eckhardt have a point? And if the government were similarly situated and someone came in and said, aha, you used this term once in a footnote in a 25-page submission where in all the other contexts you used a different word, and we think you should draw a significant implication from that, would the government say, yes, that's probably correct?
Your Honor, so this is a submission in a proposed construction on a patent, on patent terms. They are very specific in patent law. So this is GoPro's own people proposing that this language should be used for this, their own equipment. Just like in OtterBox, they use certain terms, you know, perhaps once. You know, people will debate.
They use that term, but they used in all these other contexts a different term. So it's not as though it was used once and that's the only time that the relevant product was referenced. The relevant product was referenced throughout, and they used a different term that's consistent with their argument here. Is it fair to draw that conclusion, as the government is asking the court to do, that this is a significant aspect of a finding in favor of the government's position that GoPro, in fact, considers its the subject merchandise to be a camera case within the meaning of 4202?
Well, Your Honor, I think that's ultimately up to you. However, we do think it's significant, which is why we put it in our brief. It's something that was proposed to a court. And we feel that we are looking at finding reliable sources. And I think that was one of the first questions that you brought, reliable sources, sources that haven't been influenced by ideas of, well, this is a litigation now. You know, and once you're in a litigation, it's hard to come to some sort of pronunciations that aren't influenced by that. So I think that's what we're searching here for. What is reliable? And I think we've discussed that.
Is the reliable, okay, so I think I understand that. Is the reliable source the decision, the brief, or the word in the footnote?
I think we're accumulating reliable evidence for you to decide.
I understand the other reliable. With respect to this piece as a reliable source,
yes.
Is it the decision of the court, the brief of GoPro, or the single word that GoPro used in a footnote? Which is the reliable source?
It's an assertion by GoPro when...
No, can you just tell me A, B, or C? Is it the decision of the court, the brief of GoPro that is referenced in the decision of the court, or the use of the word camera case in the footnote? Is it A, B, or C is the reliable source here?
The decision reflecting what GoPro is doing through their briefing, through what they're proposing to the court.
Is that A, B, or C?
I think it's a combination of two.
Got it.
Your Honor, the court actually in patent litigation did not accept GoPro's footnote.
Would you like to venture whether it's A, B, or C as a reliable source?
It is not a reliable source
not
in
reliable
any way whatsoever.
Got it.
And Your Honor, may I correct the record real quickly? At the very beginning, Mr. Kenny referred to exhibits, which we also objected to, exhibits 12 and 13, I believe. Nowhere did GoPro in their marketing materials, including the website that the counsel is referring to, said camera case. At the very worst, it was waterproof case that they said, and then they amended it and put the housing in there. Nowhere did they say camera case.
Your Honor, I do stand corrected. It says waterproof case. Referring.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I want to thank counsel for their participation this afternoon. I want to thank especially my team, Sybilla Grennan, our lead law clerk on this case, Rohan Mishra, Bridget Grennan. Sorry, I just renamed you. Bridget Conwell, would that work better? A little bit better. Lily Moses joining us from Ithaca, who's done a really fantastic job. And Teresa Oliver, who's also doing a fantastic job on other matters before the court. And to all of our court security officers, to the custodians who make sure that this building functions so that we can all meet here. A great thanks to them and to Casey, and we're closed, Casey.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, the team.
Thank you, Your Honor.